Now, the worship of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Reverend Mia Richardson, pastor. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Avon United Methodist Church. Whether you're hearing us here in the sanctuary or on the radio or on our podcast, we welcome you this morning to our worship service. I am lay leader Don Maston, and I'd like to welcome with us this morning Reverend Jenny Streeter. She'll be giving us the message today, and she's also a special friend of Pastor Kim's. The prayer team will be meeting next Sunday at 9:30. We will be using as a outline for discussion the sermon on prayer that Pastor Kim gave us a couple months ago. If anybody's interested in joining us at the prayer team, it's 9:30 at the Royal Perrin Room. Well, this is a day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it.
Stand and join me for the call to worship. Praise be to God.
Through whom all things are made, in heaven and on earth.
Praise be to Jesus Christ, who rescues us from the power of darkness.
Who redeems us and sets us free.
Praise be to the Spirit of God,
whose presence sustains us and whose breath renews all creation.
Behold, I am making all things new.
Come, O God, and make your home among us. Pour out your Spirit and renew our lives.
Let us join together in our first hymn, Seek Ye First.
Seek ye first.
Let us join together in prayer. Holy and transforming God, often we want to keep you on the mountain, uninvolved in the decisions we make or the way we respond to one another. You lead us back into the world and into life that we may see you, the opportunities to extend love and grace to those who suffer. Help us to trust you, knowing that all things are subject to your transforming power. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our first reading is Romans 13:8-14. Let love be your only debt. If you love others, you have done all that the law demands. In the law, there are many commands, such as, be faithful in marriage, do not murder, do not steal, do not want what belongs to others. But all of these are summed up in the command that says, love others as much as you love yourself. No one who loves others will harm them, so love is all that the law demands. You know what sort of times we live in, and so you should live properly. It is time to wake up. You know that the day when we will be saved is nearer now than when we first put our faith in the Lord. Night is almost over and day will soon appear. We must stop behaving as people do in the dark and be ready to live in the light. So behave properly as people do in the day. Don't go to wild parties or get drunk or be vulgar or indecent. Don't quarrel or be jealous. Let the Lord Jesus Christ be as near to you as the clothes you wear. Then you won't try to satisfy your selfish desires. Matthew 6:24-34. You cannot be the slave of two masters. You will like one more than the other or be more loyal to one than the other. You cannot serve both God and money. I tell you not to worry about your life. Don't worry about having something to eat, drink, or wear. Isn't life more than food or clothing? Look at the birds in the sky. They don't plant or harvest. They don't even store grains in barns. Yet your Father in heaven takes care of them. Aren't you worth more than birds? Can worry make you live longer? Why worry about clothes? Look how the wild flowers grow. They don't work hard to make their clothes. But I tell you that Solomon, with all of his wealth, wasn't as well clothed as one of them. God gives such beauty to everything that grows in the fields, even though it is here today and thrown into a fire tomorrow. He will surely do even more for you. Why do you have such little faith? Don't worry and ask yourselves, will we have anything to eat? Will we have anything to drink? Will we have any clothes to wear? Only people who don't know God are always worrying about such things. Your Father in heaven knows that you need all of these. But more than anything else, put God's work first and do what he wants. Then the other things will be yours as well. Don't worry about tomorrow. It will take care of itself. You have enough to worry about today. Word of the Lord.
Let us bow our heads and pray. We pray for the church, the world, and all those who are in need. We give you thanks for all the good creation and the joy and the love that surrounds us on every side. We give you thanks for the gift of a new month and the beauty of the summer days. We pause this morning to reflect on our own lives, on the relative comfort and ease, and mindful how often we take our blessings for granted. We know that the gifts of our common life together are built on the work and the sacrifice of others. We lift up our prayers in sorrow and thanksgiving. Help us to respond to this senseless tragedy with faith and courage, not wandering into darkness, but striving towards light. We pray for those that are ill and those who are under great stress, including the names that were lifted in front of you today, those on our prayer list, and those whose struggles are known to you alone. Surround them with your care and restore them to health and wholeness in your good time and way. We pray for those that we love but we see no longer. Grant them rest and peace in your eternal kingdom and let your light perpetually shine upon them. O Lord, support us all day long until the shadows lengthen and the evenings come, and the busyness of the world is hushed, and the fever of life is over, and all our work is done. Gracious Lord, thank you for all that you have given us. We ask that you will continue to guide us each day so we can be your disciples, living as you want us to live. Lord, sometimes we do not know how to pray, but we trust that you know our prayers, those spoken aloud and those deep within us. So now in this time, we turn to you, praying the prayer that you have taught us, our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Linda Roseborough, the director of the Chancel Choir, and it's a great pleasure to welcome choir back from their summer hiatus. And we thought today we would share an upbeat, energetic song called Everybody Clap Your Hands. But we need a little bit of help because clapping hands with choir folders in our hands is a little bit challenging. So when I turn around and start clapping, if you'll just join with me, there's certain sections where we clap and some where we don't. If you'll help me out a little bit, that would be wonderful.
Today. My name is Pastor Jenny, and Pastor Kim is on vacation with her wonderful husband, and we are good friends. We live in the same neighborhood, and I am here in her place. Dear choir, I am impressed by the multitude and the sounds. What a wonderful choir. My son joined everyone for Sunday school today. He had a great time. He especially liked the cookies. He's very hard to please these days, so I will tell you, I am helping model what Kim may look like at some point. I'm due in 3 weeks, so that is the question that's probably going through your head, and I'll answer it now instead of when you shake my hand at the end. So, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you. Amen. Well, a few years ago, my husband gave me a camera for Christmas. And I will show you what it is. It is one of those fancy-dancy cameras. You'll notice there are lots of bells and whistles on this camera, many buttons, many functions. At that time, we were anticipating the birth of our son, Jonathan, who is down in the nursery right now. He was coming in February, and I thought I needed, well, there was many things I needed, ice cream and pizza, but I needed this camera. And so I was given this camera for Christmas from my family. I read all of the instructions, I watched YouTube videos, and I had it completely mastered. I put it in my hospital bag, and when he came in February, we took it out, and we could not even figure out how to turn it on. So we have no pictures on that camera of the special day I was looking to capture. So what I did after that is I relearned how to use the camera, and I'm not much of a photographer, or I wasn't. So I asked my dad, every time I saw him, I said, tell me one thing to focus on when I take pictures, just one thing to think about. And my dad was actually the photography teacher and worked in the technology department over at Avon High School. And so he had some, his name's Bob Castle, you'll also ask me that when we shake hands. So every time I saw him, I said, Dad, just give me one thing to focus on. I've tried to read these photography books, it just doesn't click. And so the first thing that he told me was to change your perspective when you take a picture. What I was doing is every time I took a picture is I would stand in front of you and say cheese, click, and that was it. I didn't really take any time. I just looked through the lens and took a picture of exactly what I saw. But what his advice was to change the perspective of how you take the picture. And so that might mean standing up high and taking a picture down low. That might mean crouching really low and taking a picture looking up at a child or looking up at the ceiling in a way that you wouldn't normally see it. And what this does is when you look at the picture, it makes you think and it just sets you back just for a moment, makes you see the world in a different way. I think that's one of the messages that this scripture that we read is that we are to take from it. It says, look at the world like the birds in the air and the lilies in the field, to think of the world differently. Don't think of it as you and I, but think of it from a different vantage point. Think about our blessings. Think about the things that are going well. Don't focus on the things that really don't matter, what you're wearing or what you're eating, what your job is, what you wish your job is. Step back for a minute and take a different perspective. My hope would be that we could take a perspective of gratitude, take a perspective of giving thanks, but see the world from a different angle and think of it differently. So I, of course, mastered that perfectly, and so I went back to my dad and asked for another piece of advice. And what the second piece of advice would be to change your focus. What I often want to do, and I think what many of us want to do when we take a picture, is we want it to be one of those big panoramic pictures. I want everything that I see literally to be in this picture. I want that stained glass window, that stained glass window. I want the piano. I want you and you and you, and I want the hymnal. I want everything in that picture. And so I would just lean back as far as I could and take the biggest picture I could. And these pictures would be really blurry, and everybody would be really small, and there would be nothing in focus, and they really wouldn't look good on the wall. So what the idea is you decide what you want to take a picture of, and then you focus in and you take a picture of just that. Now, the cameras are nice. They have all these buttons, and you can do that. You can focus in on a flower or a sunset or on a person's face. But what it does is it narrows what is going on. It takes a big world out there and narrows it in on one little thing. You might see just one person's face. You might see just their expression. And that helps you focus in on what's really important for that day. I think this is a message that many of us can hear. I think many of us keep adding things, keep saying yes, yes, yes. Oh, I'd love to do that. I'd love to do that. Come on over for dinner, and I'll make the dinner, and we'll go to a movie, and we'll do this, and I'll volunteer, and I'll get a job, and I'll do this. And very quickly, everything gets bigger and more cluttered. Very quickly, we add and we add and we add instead of narrowing and narrowing and narrowing. As a church and as Christians, I believe what we are supposed to focus on is the message of Christ. Our goal is not to do a gazillion million million things, but instead to do one or two things well. I would argue that those one or two things would be to live life as Christians, as much like Jesus as possible, to treat all people well. I think that if we are able to do that in all that we do, if we are able to be the best person, the person that God knows that we can be, if we can focus our energy on doing that, everything else will fall in its place. The scripture that we read talks about that. It says, don't worry about all those little small details, but focus on God. Focus on the gifts and the blessing that we have been granted. The third tip of photography that I'd like to share with you is, what would you want your picture to say? Now, with digital cameras, it's not as big of a deal, but before you just quickly click, 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 think, just step back for a minute and think about what you want the picture to say. What emotion do you want to come out of that picture when you first look at it? There are all different famous pictures out there. There's photography from Ansel Adams. And if you've ever seen some of these black and white images, immediately when you look at them, you are struck in awe by the beauty of the earth. You'll notice that he focuses. We have one in our house that is just a tree, and it's backlit by a white sky. It's a black tree with a white sky. And it is stunning. It is stunning by the detail, the beauty of that one tree. There's other ones of Yosemite, and it's just focusing on these beautiful waterfalls. And it just shows you the grandness of our earth and the awe that we should have. There's other great pictures out there of folks going off to war and couples kissing, and just the love and the passion that comes out of that picture on first glance. It doesn't take much to see that. We should do the same thing when we take pictures. What emotion do you want to come out? I want to take a picture of all you really excited about my sermon and smiling at me. I don't know who to focus on. But you want to take a picture of exactly what the emotion is, be it happiness, be it joy, be it awe, be it wonderment, be it sadness, whatever it is, we want to focus on that. And that leads me to my last part. What do we want our lives to be? What picture do you want people to envision or see when they think of us? When our time has passed or we are not in the room, what do we want people to remember us by? Do we want them to remember that we are the most organized person ever? Or do we want them to remember that we are the most loving person ever? We're always giving or always knew this scripture or we're able to sing. I don't think it matters exactly. But I think whatever we want to focus on, I think it's important that it is filled with God, it's filled with God's love, it's filled with Christ. There are so many options of how we want to live our lives, and as Christians, every Sunday we come together to realign ourselves, to remind us that we are called to live as people of Christ. We are called to live out those messages, to live out those pictures of Jesus in our own way. I don't know how you will do it, not always sure how I will do it, but I think this is important, to think about how we want to be remembered, how we want to remember each day, what our focus will be. My hope is that we, as each of us in the pews, each of us as people, when people look at us, that they will see Christ working in the world today. When they focus on us, they will see us filled with goodness and joy the same way Christ was. So that's my little lesson for how you can take pictures in your life. You don't have to get an expensive camera. Turns out your iPhone will take just as good of pictures. But my hope is each of us can be a picture of Christ when people encounter us in the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Jenny, for that beautiful message.
Thank you.
As we sing our hymn, Open My Eyes That I May See, let's thank Pastor Jenny Streeter for being with us today.
Open my eyes.
us go forth today living into the image of God that we are called to be. Let us be the picture-perfect people in our hearts, bodies, and souls. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we go in peace today. Amen.
This has been Say Cheese with guest pastor Jennifer Streeter, originally broadcast September 7th, 2014. Trying to see the big picture can be overwhelming. Jennifer shares photo-taking analogies for techniques to focus on the world more selectively and become a picture of Christ to others.
You've been listening to the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.